Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God who saved us called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, here it comes, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Pastor Bill continues his study from the book of Esther today with the conclusion to the message, The Providence of God. Now, Pastor Bill.
The Bible doesn't teach fatalism. You know, like just, well, everything's been lined out. There's nothing I can, that's not at all. You know, we make decisions and you know, God doesn't honor all of our decisions, does he? No, but he is in control. God has a goal, and that goal is marked out by his own will. He knows where we're going. He knows what the end is. Providence means that God will provide. Do you remember the story of Abraham? When God tells Abraham to go up to the mount and sacrifice his only begotten son, the son that he loves, and that would be, of course, Isaac. And he goes up and he gets the wood and he gets the fire and he gets his knife and the servants are with him and his son Isaac is with him and they're on a 3-day journey up to the mount and they get up to the mount there and they have everything except one thing. They don't have the sacrifice. It says in Genesis 22:7, and Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, oh, father, he said, here I am, my son. And then he said, look, you know, you have the fire and you have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, this is prophecy, by the way. He said, my son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What kind of faith is that? Did Isaac know that he was the one to be sacrificed? No, not a clue. Man, the faith of Abraham. And it says, and then the two of them went together. You know the story. He raised a knife. Isaac willingly, of his own volition, lay there upon the burnt offering, the sacrifice, as a sacrifice. As he lifted, Abraham lifted his hand with the knife. You know what the angel did. He stayed his hand and cried out. And over in the thicket there was what? A ram. And then Abraham said in Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of the place. Here it is. The Lord will provide. You see, the providence of God. The Lord will provide. Or Jehovah Yireh or Jehovah Jireh, whichever pronunciation you desire. As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now listen, 1900 years after the event of Genesis 22, guess what happened? God provided the lamb upon the same mount that Abraham was on that day there in Jerusalem. John 1:29. What did John the Baptist say? He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, when we talk about Esther, we talk about this introduction and the divine providence of God. I mean, I could speak of you. And how about Moses? Just look at Moses for a moment. I mean, here the mom looks at this little baby that's been born. You know, the Pharaoh has issued for all the male children to be drowned there in the river, to be executed, if you will. And so what does the mom do? She looks at the little baby and notices how beautiful that he is. Makes him a little ark, you know, puts a little asphalt on it, seals it up real good, covers him up, and pushes him down the river. And guess who? Well, you know the story. All of a sudden, there's Pharaoh's home, the finest home in all of Egypt. And she walks out there, Pharaoh's daughter, and looks, and all of a sudden there's a little baby, and she lifts the cover off, and the moment that that happens, he starts crying. Do you remember that? God sent that baby there, and you know what? She took the baby in, Pharaoh's daughter, and as she took that baby in, she was taking in God's deliverer for the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt. See, that's the divine providence of God. I look it back, and I say, oh, Lord, you are so incredible. It's no different than the day that I finally, one day when I was just a young man, I threw up my hands. I said, I'm through. I'm finished. I said, what in the world is life? What is truth all about? Got in my truck, sold everything I had, left this state, ended up about half drunk on a beach in Florida. Sunrise was coming up. You know the story. I've shared it 1,000 times with you. Little did I know that hippie on the beach would be walking down and he was a believer. How little did I know that in my heart I knew I was looking for truth, didn't even know what truth was, had no idea. And that person looked at me and says, hey man, you look like you're looking for the truth. I looked up at him. I said, well, what is the truth? And I'll never forget it. It's my life scripture today, John 8:32. And he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I said, how? He said, give me your hand. Prayed with him. I've never looked back. You understand? See, do you think that just happened? Do you think that was chance? Do you think that was fate? No, listen, that was the divine providence of God. He knew that what was in my heart. He knew I was seeking the truth. And there he was. He sent this hippie on the beach who was a born-again believer. That was a Jesus Movement years, man. And said the exact thing that I needed to hear to turn and open up my heart. See, God is always working. You don't see him. We think everything, no, this is my decision. Well, yes, it is. It can be. But I tell you, God is always working on your behalf because he loves you. He has a plan for your life. I mean, we could talk about Ruth. I just mentioned her a moment ago. You know, it says in Ruth 2:3, remember she came and her husband had died and she left with Naomi, who was a Jew, and Ruth was a Moabitess, and here they are, they've left and they've come back to Bethlehem. In Ruth 2:3, it says, and then Ruth left. Now, remember, she's a widow. She's in a strange town. She's unprotected. She's leaving this house, going out. And she says, and then Ruth left and went and gleaned, or literally worked in the field and after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, listen, Ruth had no idea who Boaz was. You know what she did? Naomi sent her out and said, we got to eat, girl. Go out and glean. Go find a field. Because, see, the law, the Jewish law said that they had as they were reaping the harvest, they had to leave some back for the people that were poor so they could glean behind them. And so here she goes. She didn't know what she was doing. Ruth had no idea that moment she stepped out of her house was going to lead to some of the greatest eternal things that ever. She had no clue, loved one. Can you imagine? I mean, it says she happened to come to the part of the field. She walked out of that front door. She did not know where she was going and not even knowing the way to go. How did she get there? The divine providence of God. You see, God, whether we knew it or not, believe it or not, God was directing her steps. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered, established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You know, when we look back, we see God's hand in it, don't we? But when we look today or whatever, we say, I don't know, God, where are you? I know you're here, but what are you doing? God's always working on your behalf. He's always right there with you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how sad, how happy, no matter what, he is with you. We think about Joseph, talking about the providence of God. Here's a young man that his dad, man, Jacob, loved him. He was his favorite among all the brothers. You know, that made him that coat of many colors. And his brothers all went out in the field one day to work and so forth. And the dad got worried about him. They sent Joseph, said, Joseph, go check on your brothers and see what they're doing and so forth. And you know the story. They hated Joseph. And so what did they do? They threw him down in a pit. And then they saw the Midianites coming, and they sold him unto the Midianites. And the Midianites took him then down to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, and where he became a slave of Potiphar. I mean, can you imagine being a 17-year-old boy, your dad's favorite, and your brothers hating you that much that they wanted to kill you? They took the coat of many colors. They killed an animal, rubbed it up in all the blood, took it back to the dad and said, he's dead. An animal, no doubt, is just torn into pieces. You know, and all the time they were lying. And it says at the very end, remember when they all the brothers came and God had promoted him to where he was in second command of all of Egypt. It says in Genesis 45, 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, I would have said prepare to die, but he didn't do that. He says, please come near. And so they came near. See, they didn't know who he was. They came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Now listen, he says, for God, not you really. It says, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Think about that. I mean, he didn't blame his brothers. He had enough spiritual insight to say, oh no, listen, you think you did this to me? All the time God was going to use me to save millions. Do you understand? He said, oh, God sent me before you to preserve life. Verse 7 says, God sent me before you. Verse 8 says, you didn't send me here, but God sent me here. Verse 9 says, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Loved one, listen. God is in control. That's what the book of Esther is about. Even though the prayer is not mentioned, even though his name is not mentioned, if you don't have a good introduction to the book of Esther, you won't really grasp it the way that you should. God is in control. You know, I remember years ago, you know, whenever I told you the story about how, you know, the people wanted me to come to Vegas to help start a Christian radio station, and I'm not going up there or down there, wherever it is. I never been there in my life, had no desire to go there, and they kept calling and calling and calling. They just wore me out, man. I said, okay. So I went. I picked up some radio equipment in New Mexico, drove to Las Vegas, and there I was. I gave it all to them. The moment I saw Las Vegas, I'd never been there. I this is honest God truth. I got out of my truck. It was in the summer, and I stood in front of my truck. I looked down in the valley at the city, and I said, welcome to hell. It's the truth. It's about 115 degrees. You know, you have things simmer. You have, you know, the waves of heat. And plus, I've been in many parts of the world, but I've never seen wickedness like that. And if you're from Vegas, don't get me wrong, I live there, okay? I came out of Calvary, Vegas, so hello. Now, and then I gave them that equipment. They said, we want you to stay and help with the rest. I said, I'm not. I'm leaving now. Oh, you can stay tonight. No, I don't want to stay tonight. I'm going back to Texas. They said, we have some pizza with us. Well, all right. Will you go to church with us tonight? I said, all right, and then I'm leaving in the morning. Well, you see, I went to church with them that night. A woman walked in. I watched her walk down the hall, you know, walk down the thing. Looked right at her. And I knew that that was going to be my wife. Now, there I was, 3 hours in Vegas, and I was already going to get married. There's a spirit there. Do you understand? Well, that woman is now my wife. You know, 40 years is a wonderful thing. Amen? But see, was that the providence of God? Absolutely. Man, listen, he had to get me out of Texas. You know what? You go back to Ruth and think about Ruth. What would have happened had Ruth gone to the wrong field instead of the field of Boaz, talking about the providence of God? What would have happened? Well, first of all, there would be no wise man looking for a star. Do you understand? There would have been no baby. She had married the wrong guy, okay? She went to the right field, Boaz, and she had the right baby. Remember who Boaz and Ruth had? Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. And guess what? Who came from David? The Savior of the world. Do you see how God had the incredible way that he does things? Listen, God rules it all. It's not by chance. It's not by fate. No, in the book of Esther, we see the incredible providence of God. And you look at Esther, we're going to find her. She is a brave woman. She is a beautiful woman. She is a woman that is willing to die for the Jews, her very own people. Mordecai, we're going to find, is going to tell Esther this in Esther 4:14. Let me read it to you. He tells Esther, he says, Esther, listen, and remember Esther, you know, that was his cousin. He raised her now, okay? He says, listen, if you remain completely silent at this time, and let me preface this by saying, because Haman wanted to kill all of the Jews, okay? If you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house, you're going to perish. You're going to die. And listen to what Mordecai says to Esther. Yet who knows? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, see, we know who knows. God. He knows, He cares, He sees. In Esther, the entire 10 chapters, God may be out of sight, but the people of God are never out of His sight. Does that make sense? Oh, what a great study it's going to be. You know what? I believe that God has raised up this church for such a time as this. If all of us would just agree to that and let God be God. As we begin our study in this great book of Esther, let me preface it as we begin next Wednesday night. But it all starts out with a party, a king's party, okay? It's 180 days. Can you imagine having a party for 6 months? I mean, unbelievable. And in this, we're going to find out that the Jews had absolutely no idea that in 4 chapters, a decree was going to be made for all of the Jews everywhere by Haman, that he had the king's seal on it. They were all going to die. They were all going to be destroyed. And the king that we're going to meet, he had absolutely no idea that in front of all of maybe 15,000 of his guests, as we'll learn next Wednesday night, that the queen, when he bid her to come out, challenged him and would not come out. He had no idea that that was going to happen. And he absolutely had no idea that a beautiful young virgin Jewish girl named Esther would be the next queen of Persia. And by her, God placing her right there at the right time by His providence, would save all of the Jewish people. What an incredible, unbelievable story that Esther is. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Bill, gosh, with all the divine promise of God, it feels like we don't have a freedom. Yes, we do. Our freedom is incredible. Let me read this to you. One scholar writes this: divine providence does not destroy our freedom. Rather, divine providence takes our freedom into account and in the infinite wisdom of God set a course to fulfill God's will. Now listen, if God is not in control of all things, He is not sovereign. He is not God. He is not Lord of all. Do you understand? He is God. I don't understand why things happen in this world. I don't even try to understand anymore. But I know that God knows. And I know that He is in control. As it says in Ephesians 1:11, it says, in Him we've also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. Listen now. Who works all things according to the counsel of His will. All things. You know, we are believers in Christ Jesus. We are born from above. Amen? Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, it says, we know, it is a certainty. We know, it's a divine fact because God has told us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. You see, all things don't work together for good for everyone, but it does for those that love God. Amen? You know, listen, God is in control. You know, and right now, all of us, by God's plan, we are being conformed into the very image of Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work, meaning God, who began a good work in you, will complete it, bring it to full fruition, until the very day of Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it tells us that we are being, our being is a process, are being transformed into the very same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's that Christ-likeness from glory to glory to glory to glory. I'm telling you, all things, whether we know it or not, I don't understand it. Because there's times I say, Lord, all things, do they really work together for good? And it's like the Lord will say, well, Bill, all things aren't good, but you belong to me. And I tell you that I'm working good on your behalf. I'm telling you that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Amen. I'm telling that God never fails. No matter what happens, He never fails. We are sure and we are certain. No, I thank God for that. You say, well, does that mean that God plans our problems? Of course not. We do enough ourselves, amen? We always are getting into trouble. No. You know, it says in Genesis 50:20, going back to Joseph, he says this, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. I have learned one thing for sure, that my life and your life is rooted in eternity. The Bible says, and Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that eternity has been embedded, if you will, in our hearts. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God who saved us called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, here it comes, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Isn't it amazing that you were called from eternity, that God chose you? I think, oh God, you're so good. You know, providence is not really so much about us. Providence, loved one, is Christ-centered. Did you know that? It's about our God. The goal of God's providence is the establishing of His Son forever over all things, putting the last enemy underneath His foot. You remember there in Peter's sermon, that sermon on Pentecost, I call it an Easter sermon, if you will. And as he's concluding, as he's preaching to the Jewish people there, he says in Acts 2:22, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. It says, being delivered by the determined purpose, God's determined plan, the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. The determined foreknowledge and incredible divine providence and purpose of God. He sent Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die for the sins of the world. Amen. We didn't plan that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He planned that. Oh, loved one, I look at that and I say, oh, God, you know what? Jesus, him coming here was no accident. It was promised before time began. Did you know that? It says in 1 Peter 1:20, speaking of Jesus, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Revelation 13:8 says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The providence of God. He's gone before you tonight. He knows what you're facing tomorrow. You know, you may be having the fight of your life tomorrow, and you may be like Samson. Remember what Samson, he was out there and all the Philistines were coming against him to kill him, and he had no weapon. And what did he, when he fell into the sand and he put his hand there, what did he find? He found a jawbone, the jawbone of a donkey. And what did he do? Man, did he remove some Philistines with it? Yes, but listen, how do you think it got there? How do you think it was there? God says, I know what you need. I know what you need when you need it. He knows what you need tomorrow. He knows when you need a fresh word from the Holy Spirit. He knows everything that you need. He will always provide it because he is the God who provides everything for you. I'm so thankful that we're saved tonight. I'm thankful that he's with us tonight. I'm thankful that all of us, whether we are stiff-necked or just letting God have his perfect way, he'll never leave you and he will never forsake you. As I always say, he will never relax his hold upon you. He will complete what he has started in you.
Pastor Bill continues his study from Esther on our Monday program, and we invite you to tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.